Welcome to the Religion Unplugged podcast. I'm Matthew Peterson. Each week, we take a behind-the-scenes look at a topic in the news about the role of religion in public life to gather more insight and understanding on the stories being covered and the people who are covering them. Today on the podcast, I interview the Catholic painter, Maureen Gaffney Wolfson. Let's listen in.
Okay, this is Matthew Peterson from Religion Unplugged. Today I am talking with the award-winning painter Maureen Gaffney Wolfson to discuss her colorful life, her paintings, her newly opened gallery, and how her Catholic faith has guided it all. Maureen, how are you today?
I'm feeling great. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here with you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm so glad. Happy to be talking to you today and excited to find out everything about your life. I've heard it's quite a story. So, looking forward to it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's an interesting story.
So then to start, I would love to just hear that story. I'd love for you to just walk me through the major chapters of your life so far, and also how your faith journey has accompanied them.
All right. Well, I can start from the time I was born.
Great.
And I was I was born in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I was born in 1943 during the war, and it was a hard time to find a place to live. And so we lived in a flea bag motel, and my dad was an alcoholic, and my mother, she couldn't even have girlfriends at 21, but she met up with him and fell in love with him. And one night he came home drunk at the hotel, and I kept crying for milk, and there wasn't any money because he just drank it at the nearest bar. And so I wouldn't stop crying, so he beat me black and blue, and I was like 4 months old already. So that's the beginning of my story and how it was going to be until I was older for a while. So then we left Boston and Worcester, and when it came time, after I was through that, about the time I was four or five, I survived a fire downtown Boston. And then after that, I was in an orphanage and foster homes for a while. Then my soul was dying, so they sent me home to my grandmother, and I did fine there for a while until I broke her window. I was somewhat of a tomboy, and I was playing ball with the boys, and I broke her window. So she put us in the attic for a while until my mother came back. She wasn't well. And then when my mother came back, they sent us to parochial school, and it was the best thing my mother ever could have done for me was to send me to parochial school in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And from that point on, even as a little kid, I thought I was going to be a nun. So, but it didn't happen, of course. And let's see. So after Boston, I went to parochial school. That was good. I learned about God, and he was my saving grace throughout my life. We moved to Tucson, Arizona about 1958, and I went to 7th and 8th grade there. I was kept back twice before I went. So I was 15 by the time I got out of 7th and 8th grade. That time, my mother decided to go to California, and I decided to stay. So I was just making friends, and we were like gypsies, always moving around, except for the 6 years I went to parochial school in Cambridge. We were always right. Moving around. So we went. She moved to California, and I stayed in Tucson, and I worked in a factory sewing, and I cleared $28 a week, and I lived on a dirt lot in a trailer for $30 a month. I did that for a couple of years, and then I thought, okay, this is enough. I saw myself as succeeding something in my life, something there was something important for me to do, not just sit here and sew. So I left Tucson and met my mother in Cypress, California, out in the time when I was about 20, and there was nothing but cows out there, so we woke up with the odor of cows every morning. I got used to it. And then I left my mother in Cyprus and went into L.A. And when I went into L.A., I was 21, and I wound up working on the Red Skelton shows from 1964 to about 1968. That was a blessing because I only went to the eighth grade, and when I was working at the factory, I was out on my own at 15. I just turned 16 that summer, so I was out on my own then. And And so it was hard. And I only went to the eighth grade, so I was going to figure, how am I going to make a living? Well, I was a ballet dancer, and I was built strong. And so I figured, well, I could model. And I took up fashion modeling out in Orange County. So when I went into L.A., I got the Red Skelton shows for 4 years, and I did modeling. And I did tea room, I did ramp, and so forth. And I wound up working in motion pictures, a few of them with Raquel Welch, called A Swinging Summer. And another one, the Harlow movie, which was about Harlow. And there were two coming out that year. And Bill Sargent's Univision, I think it was called, wanted to get out first before the other one got out with Carol Baker. Ours was with Carol Lindley. I got a part in that also. And then I was out on tour doing modeling for Cole Bathing Suits in conjunction with the Harlow movie. And and so I did movies then and so forth. And I started painting when I was on the Red Skelton show. And Red, of course, you know, was a famous artist. He painted clowns as well. And he was a composer, too, as well. He could write music on an upright piano. And David Rose would come in, and he'd listen, and he'd ask, what do you think, you know? So he was quite a character. After that, let's see, what else did I do? When it wasn't on the air, when I wasn't working, I would go to the Hollywood Legion Lanes and shoot pool, and I was one of the first women that made money shooting pool. that's how I kind of...
That's awesome.
And I gave up on God when I was about 13 because I thought God wasn't fair. Why couldn't I be loved like everybody else? And I never felt loved. And my mother was raising six children by herself, so she couldn't very well spread her love out. It was getting thin as we got older. So anyway, I gave up on God, and my life wasn't all that great when I did that. I got into more trouble and attracted the wrong people. I went back to church when I married my husband in 1987. I married for the first time at 43. And I went back to church, and my life has been nothing but beautiful since. And I see God working with me every day. I see how he puts things in front of me when he thinks I'm ready. And it's working, and so now I know how to see God and how he works and what he's given me and how much he's given me, so much. God is in my paintings and God is in everything that I do in my gallery because it's all about God's creation. We are God's creation. The earth is God's creation. The talent that we all have is God's creation. He knows your talent, and he's going to help you if you're positive. You stay positive, he'll help you through it. If you get negative, there's nothing much he can do, but you got to want to do it. So I have in my paintings, well, to tell you the truth, I'm a lyrical artist. A lyrical artist, I tell a story in all my paintings. So there's a story about life and everything, and some very personal. And I use a lot of color, and the color makes your eyes move around. But in my world, they say, why do you paint so many different subjects? I said, I'm not. I'm painting God's world. You're God's world. My story is God's world. I paint a lot of subjects because it's God's world. And so, you know, I don't stay with any one thing except telling a story and using color. But I have something to say in everything I paint. And it's coming through what I believe in and God in giving me the talent to do that.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful, and there's obviously your life has been so fascinating. I feel like I could ask probably 30 questions about every sentence you just said, but I'll choose like three things.
All right.
Was your first experience with religion of any kind? Was that at this school that you started going to with your mom? Basically, did you find out about religion and then immediately want to become a nun, or was there some kind of
work after that? My first, I learned about God was when I went to parochial school, and I was already a sad sore sight already because I'd been in orphanages and foster homes, and I felt I had been abandoned. So by the time I got to parochial school, I felt secure. I liked the religion. We started every class. In parochial school that I went to, all the subjects were in each class, one class. We never left to go to a different classroom for a different subject. But we would start off with the saluting the flag, and then religion was the first subject. I loved it. I enjoyed it. And I had art. They gave us little postcards of the blue boy and the pinky, and I was being introduced to God, something I could believe in or that I found great interest in, and I found that it enlightened me and gave me hope. And then with the art too, I learned about the art also in school, at grade school.
Right.
God came into my life young. And I think it's important that if you can get it into your life, God into your life young, it's going to help you. When I gave it up at 13, it was because I thought maybe God wasn't being fair. I was getting older, and my mother was working, taking care of kids. We were raising ourselves, and so I didn't feel loved. And I go, why, God, can't I be loved like everybody else? Well, little did I know, at 13, there's a lot of families going through things like that, but you think you're the only one, you know?
Right.
And so there it was. And I, even though I gave it up, even when I was in showbiz, I would still go to church every so often and ask God, what am I doing wrong? How can I make it better? And then I'd walk out and forget about it again. But he was still with me. He saved me. He has saved me through all the turmoil I went through by not believing in God and attracting the wrong people. I've almost been killed a few times. I've tried suicide three times, but I got through it. And he said, no, you're not, it's not your time, you're not going yet. I still had something to do, and I know he had something for me that must be important for me to do, and that's why I'm here, because I raised myself. My mother didn't have time to raise us. So we're raising ourselves, and good luck. And she gave us so much freedom, because she never had any freedom. She couldn't have girlfriends at 21. So she gave us a lot of freedom. She says, I'm giving you freedom because I never had it. But she gave us too much freedom. And she was only there in our lives a little bit, a few hours every day, and that was it, because she was out working. And I left school young, and then I was out on my own at 15. I just turned 16 July 1st, so it was that summer I turned.
Wow.
And I was out there working. And so that's the answer to your question. I love God. I believe in God, and I went back to God, and God has been showing me the way and showing me he's there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. And I'd say amen to all of that. And I'm wondering, because, you know, you talk about how so much of your painting now is a way that you connect with God and is a way you honor God's creation. But you also said that you started painting, when you were still kind of rebelling against God and still kind of running away from him. So I'm curious, why you started painting to begin with, and then kind of how that changed, how painting, its role in your life changed after you did return to your faith.
Well, I started painting while I was on the Red Skelton Show out of heartbreak. It was therapy for me. And then it became a hobby, and then it became a career. So I have been painting since I've been about 24, 25 years old. A little late, but I was always creative when I was very young, but no guidance, I didn't know it. So I've always been painting, and I forgot, what was the question you wanted me to refer to? I forgot.
Totally fine. So I was just asking, so, you know, if now painting is about connection with God,
yes,
why did you start before it was about that? And then how did it change? How did the role that painting played in your life changed after you came back to your faith?
I just started painting God. Before I was married, I did one or two paintings, and actually it was in a garage sale on the front lawn of my friend's house, and a priest bought it. He bought it, and so he took it. It was only one. But I always wanted to paint. But I always wanted to paint religious paintings, but I always wanted to put them out in the galaxy. So yeah. I have them. I have God creating the world. I have, I put angels out in the galaxy. I paint the wall of miracles because God saved three figures that I'm familiar with in the sports figures. Damar Hamlin. He died on the football field, and I saw them all out there on the field praying over him. And I saw the people in the pews in the audience, in the bleachers, standing up praying also. And I was home praying, and I'm thinking everybody must be home praying. And prayer makes miracles. And he came back. And that happened with Damar Hamlin, with Iwachuku, and with Ronnie James. They all died and came back. So in my gallery, I have one wall called the Wall of Miracles. And because prayer makes miracles. Yeah. I believe in prayer.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So I've always wanted to express myself with God and religion. And I'm in many churches out here. I'm throughout the valley and Los Angeles and out in Boyle Heights. And I've got awards from out in East LA as Artist of the Year. And I've got a lot of, and I actually, since I opened the gallery, I got commissioned to do a painting of a nun who's going to be beatified. And so
very cool.
I love paint. I will paint always with God in mind. And God's in mind when I paint anyway, because everything I paint is God made, you know, it's all made by God. So I am painting only one subject, and it's what God made.
You know?
And each one is a story.
Yeah, I love that. And do you think there is any specific biblical principle or specific attribute of God that you are trying to channel or display through your work?
I just wish that people would pray harder and more often, maybe they need a reminder, and maybe I'm out there to remind them. I don't know, but I think we're going backwards and not forwards. I think that with prayer and without fear, you will gain God's trust, and everything will work out when the time is right.
Yeah.
So I think people need a reminder. I think I know they have hard lives and they're not home as my mother. My dad was gone. I didn't know my dad growing up. I met him when I was about 24, but there was a painting I did of him. There's a shadow of him underneath a lamppost, and I'm standing with my mother as a little girl, and she's holding my hand, and she's going to pick up his paycheck before he spends it at the nearest bar. And so that's how I remembered him, as a shadow on the ground. I didn't see his body standing there. I saw his shadow because I'm 3 years old. I'm low to the ground. So that's probably all I could see. I didn't look up, you know. And so I remembered him only as a shadow. And then later I met him when I was 24, and I made peace with him. I wanted to know him. I didn't care what he did. And, you know, and that's the whole thing. We're all going to go through something in life that's difficult. That's what it's all about. And that's to make you stronger. So I got weak for a while, but I got back up and I kept on going. And I've done that a number of times. But I don't think I need to do that anymore, because I now have God in my life solidly, pure fruit. I can't express it. He's there. It's solid. Solidly, that's the word I'm looking for. It's there. And I'm not afraid anymore. I have him. I'm not alone. He's there. And I think people need to know that. They've forgotten. They're working jobs. They're not thinking about the love they need to give to their children. And they're growing up with the same way I did, that with very little love because there's no time for it. You're going backwards. Don't chase the money. Love your children. And God will find a way.
Yeah. And I fear you just answered the question, but I just want to give you the chance if you have anything else you want to say about it. But just going right off of that, why do you believe that it is so important that specifically Catholics and just members of Christendom at large, followers of Christ, why is it important that they are creating art and they are specifically that they are painting? What do you think that accomplishes for the kingdom of Christ?
Well, first of all, you got to believe in the Bible, you know, and then secondly, art if you lose your art, you've lost your culture. So you can't lose art. It's your culture. You take that away, you won't know who you are, what's going on. And if you don't believe in the Bible, you're totally lost. There's nothing left. And this is the Bible. Our life is the Bible. It is what he made of it. This is what God made. He made the planet. He made us. He made the Bible. You know, it's...
Right.
You got to have that. Without that, you're going to be very negative. You're going to be very down on yourself. You're going to have a lot of fear. You just got to love each other. And we're not loving each other now. We're fighting each other. And that's not a good sign that they're going the wrong direction.
Yeah. And do you believe that paintings can show and communicate love in that way?
I find that in my gallery, I have a number of paintings, religious paintings, God creating the world and so forth. And I'm finding people enjoy it very much. It's especially the people that believe. And those that don't, maybe they'll change their minds. I have the Unified School District going to bring in 7th and 8th graders into my gallery to see my work, and maybe I can help them. I want to help the younger people because they're the next generation, and I want to send the message and hope they'll pick it up.
Right. Yeah. I love that.
But I had many paintings in churches. I've painted Jesus as black and white. I'm in Baptist churches. I'm in Protestant. Episcopalian. I'm in Catholic. I'm in a lot of churches in California. I've had the priest come from Boyle Heights, Catholic priest, and bless my gallery. I had a rabbi come and bless my gallery because I believe all religions are good no matter what, as long as you believe in God. And I had a Baptist, Black Baptist preacher come and bless my gallery. And so there you go. I believe in God. Yeah. I've got him here with us.
Yeah. And I also, you began to talk a little bit about, you know, you have schools coming to visit you.
Yes.
And I've heard that, you know, those are some of your big passions is children and education. And so I'm just curious, how has making art and how has this gallery enabled your ability to better connect to those things that you're passionate about?
Well, of the Unified School District, we're planning on it now. They got to get permission and all that other stuff. But they asked me if I would do it. And I said, absolutely, I would love to do it. So we're in preparation of that now. And what was the other question? What was...
Just how has making art in general and how is that?
Yeah, for the kids in general, I think it's therapy too because a lot of these kids are confused today.
Sure.
So I see them believing in God when they see the paintings, maybe and hopefully. I would love to see them be creative so that they can paint or play music or sing. You see all the singers there are today. They all are out there expressing themselves. They need that. And as therapy, and it's another form and another way of them to express what they're feeling, and they need to get that out. It's very important they get that out.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm really interested in how the gallery works and, I believe you opened it in December. Is that correct?
It was December 2nd. We had a fabulous turnout for both nights, Saturday and Sunday, 2nd and 3rd. I have over 300 paintings on display. I stopped selling my paintings after a certain point and I started, keeping them and I wound up with over 300 pieces that I have now. I'm 81 years old, so I'm now ready to find good homes for them. So, God may keep me for another 10 years, 20 years. I don't know. But I think it's now that I start thinking about finding good homes for them. And that's why. And the gallery happened. I had no plan of ever opening a gallery. God put it in front of me. It was there. It was like I put my paintings in this big room, which is 4,000 square feet, and I put my paintings there for storage for a minute, for a while, a few days, and all of a sudden, it was a whisper to Stephen, my husband, and myself, why not do a gallery as long as they're there? So we built this gallery, and we put up all the walls, and I put up pretty much all my 300 and over 300 paintings, going from 1976 to now. And they're landscapes of, I did a whole series of the girl on the bike. She's wearing a yellow dress and she's got a bicycle, and I did one for each month. And so my favorite one is the one in New York City, and it's August, and she's in Central Park. And I used to live in New York City, and I studied at the Art Students League there while I was singing in cabarets.
And so that's awesome.
I used to ride my bike from Central Park South all the way to the other end, but I loved it. So I have all these 13 paintings. One is... besides the one of August, the other one I favor is the Tour de France, where the men are on the Tour de France, and they're coming in at the end by the Arch de Triomphe. And I'm ahead of them. And all these men are chasing, trying to catch up with me. Reminded me of my life. They're chasing me. And I said, I did it. And she's on the yellow. She wins. She did it. Women, you can do it. Mm. Just get up and do it. Don't stop. Don't give up hope. Just push forward, you know?
Yeah.
So I have that. And I have myself as a tomboy when I was a little girl. I have my father. I call him the flirt. He's got his eye closed, one is winking at you, but it really wasn't a wink. He had a stroke. But I found it. Everybody loved it. I said, no, he's the flirt. He was a flirt. Yeah. So that it made sense.
Okay, yeah. Worked out for you.
Yeah. And so, I have movie stars.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I have Red Skelton paintings here. W.C. Fields. I have Sid Caesar. I have, what was her name? Linda Crystal. And I'm building it. I'm building my celebrity wall. I'm still doing that. And so I have my religious wall. I have my celebrity wall. I have my still life walls with still lives. One that I did paint was for my mother. And it's a still life with a doily on the table because she used to crochet. And there's a pot, and it's got the Boston skyline behind it, and her grand piano, it's painted onto the bowl of with the flowers of the lily of the valley coming out at the top because she was born in May.
Huh.
So I paint pretty much, and I've got the Wall of Miracles here that I told you about. There's three of them.
Right.
They're here. I've got landscapes from Atlanta, Georgia, people I know. I'm lyrical. I paint everything. I paint God's creations.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's amazing. And it's so cool that you have it all now kind of under one roof. I know you said it's all over the place as well, but it's very cool that you have at least somewhere, you have an amalgamation of so many things that you've made. I'm curious, like up until this past December, how had you been displaying your art other than in these
I have
kind of scattered.
I've displayed all over Ireland for many years. I went to Ireland. I'm Irish. I'm 100% Irish. So I have Irish paintings here. I have my great-grandfather's homestead that I painted that I found in Ireland.
Wow.
I did many shows in Ireland for a lot of years. I did two exhibitions in Seoul and in Korea. I'm hanging in Israel. I did Israel paintings. I've done the Mumbai house, the Chabad house that was in Mumbai that was, they bombed and they killed the parents and the nanny saved the baby. I'm all over the world.
Wow.
And all through the States. Cool. And as I said, I stopped selling them. And then I just sold your clays. I would not sell the originals anymore. I would make duplicates. Once they I found out you could make jaclés. I said, wow, then I'm not selling any more originals. I'm going to make jaclés and I'll sell jaclés. So whatever, I still will sell jaclés and I still have my originals and they're going to be up. They are up. They're up for sale, and providing they're going to a good home.
Right.
They're like my children, you know. I got to let them go.
So the ultimate goal, though, then, as you said, would be to give every painting that you have a different home, to kind of spread them out so everybody can enjoy them, sort of?
Absolutely. And there's some of my historical paintings that I'd like to see someone buy that would want to donate it to a museum or some place of interest for history's sake. You know,
totally.
And I am already in the churches, so I'm still working. I'm always doing something for the church. So yes, so they can enjoy and keep positive. I tried when COVID came in 2020, I decided, what can I paint to make the people smile? That's when I decided to do the girl on the bike. So I put her in a yellow dress because yellow is a color that is happy. It does make you smile. And I put her on a red and gold leaf bike, and I used a lot of gold leaf. And I have one for every month, for January, February, March. Of course, March is coming up, and that's my leprechaun painting, you know. And so that I did that series just for that reason, just to put a smile on the faces. And the kids come in and they love it. They especially love the one with April. I have clouds of daffodils and it's raining violets. And she's on her bike, you know, and you see her backside. So anybody can say that's them. If you show the face sometimes, you know, they go, oh, that's her. But a lot of them, I only showed the face, I think, once or twice. I think I've shown the face, maybe three times as I think about it, but that's it. But most of them are, you don't really profile or, you know, the backside or so many different ways you can only paint a head.
Right, yeah, totally. So everybody can kind of
then
see themselves.
You know, I did the song, remember the song Over the Rainbow? So I did my husband's favorite song. I did a rainbow and clouds and bluebirds flying, and she's on her bike and she's going over the rainbow. And I used the rainbow to place my notes. Somewhere over the rainbow,
nice.
Way up high, nice. Why can't I? Bluebirds fly over the rainbow, why can't I? So, you know, those are favorite. I know they're favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a personal favorite? Like one that, do you have a single painting that you look to as kind of the best thing you've done or the thing that just
means
the most to you?
Well, the best thing I've done is a masterpiece. It is a masterpiece. And it's a man called the Rebbe, and the Chabad houses, they believed so much in him. He was like a saint to them. And they love him. And I said, can I have that picture? I'd love to paint him. And they said, sure. So I captured him, and they said, no one else was able to capture him the way you did. Yeah. When you look at him, his eyes are very piercing. And if you walk to the left or you walk to the right, his eyes follow you. They follow you no matter which direction. And I said, that is a masterpiece. I haven't been able to do it since, but that is my favorite piece, tell you the truth, because it follows you no matter which way you walk. And that's what he did. He followed his people and taught them and helped them and guided them, and they love him. So the Rebbe.
Yeah. That's awesome. What are you working on right now? I'm assuming you're still painting. What are you painting now?
Well, right now I'm working on the commissioned piece I was asked to paint of the nun. So
right.
I'm working on that. I'm also working on Latino paintings. So I've done, I did a painting of Frida Kahlo.
Okay.
And Diego. And I did it on a metal painting that was Art Deco. And it's a whole story, but anyway, it's Art Deco with Mexico. So I mix cultures and eras and, you know.
Yeah.
And so I have all these frames that I've got that are antiqued frames, classical frames that I'm going to incorporate into my painting. So they become also a part of the painting. They're not just framing it and making it look pretty. It's going to be part of the painting. So that's what I'll be working on as soon as the rain stops.
Yeah, right. So it's hard to, you have like a studio?
I have a studio. Somewhere. It's in my home, and it's in my living room.
Oh, cool.
So you're walking into my studio, not my living room, and it's because I have the skylights there. I have natural lighting.
So they wanted
me to come here and open a studio here, but I don't have that kind of light. There's no...
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I want natural lighting, yeah.
Yeah. So do you work on multiple things at once usually? Like, is this pretty normal?
I do. I'll tell you why. I have one part of the room is oil painting with one easel, and the other easel's on the other side of the room with acrylic.
Okay,
so
nice.
It takes time for the oil to dry, so the oil could take 3 or 4 days or more before I can touch it because I have to glaze over it and then paint again. And then let that dry and then glaze again, especially portraits. So now... while that's drying, I can be working on acrylic because my mind can I can study the other one for a while before I even go near it again, you know. And so I'm back and forth between oil and acrylic now.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a ton of sense. I've done a little bit of oil painting in the past, and every time I do it, I'm always thinking to myself, surely it's not supposed to dry this long. Surely no real painters wait for this long. So it's very helpful to me to have a real painter say, no, it does take a very long time for oil paint to dry.
You know, Van Gogh's paintings are still drying.
Wow.
Because he painted so thick. This is what I read. This was a few years back, but that's what I read. Even a few years back, that's a long time. And it's not that far long ago. I'm talking maybe 3 or 4 years ago I read that they're still drying. So,
oils take,
and you can put a dryer in it, but it's going to crack. I'm afraid to use it because I might use too much and I don't want to play with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you bring up Van Gogh because I think you have a painting I saw of you and Van Gogh.
Okay.
And I think it's entitled "He Was My Beginning."
Yes.
Is that right? What it is is
when I first started painting, I copied Van Gogh. That's where my head was at. I was as crazy as he was, and I related to him. So I started painting copying Van Gogh. I did his chair with the pouch on it, and I did the old man sitting in a chair like this, And that's where I began painting. I started copying Van Gogh, and that's why now the painting you're talking about at the easel, Van Gogh at the easel, I've done that one painting before, and I sold it immediately to someone in New York who owned a hospital in New York on 57th and 6th. He bought it. And then I did this one for the second time, but I put me in it to tell you this is where I began. This is where I started copying Van Gogh.
Yeah, okay. That's very cool. So he's been clearly
I love Van Gogh. I felt so bad. I'd done another painting of him where I'm sitting at a table talking to him, and behind the table is a painting of the field where he supposedly shot himself. So that's in the background, and that he's on one side of the table, I'm on the other side, and I'm holding his hand and I'm telling him I'm having so much compassion for him, so much empathy that I feel so bad that he had lived such a sorrowful life and that he couldn't sell one painting until after he was dead, then they were selling for millions. I felt bad for that, but at least he got his recognition. You know?
Yeah.
He got
yeah.
his recognition and he deserved it. He was quite an artist.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. So, I mean, you're 81 years old and you're still clearly have plenty of energy. You're still painting. So is there anything, like you really are hoping to do? I guess the question is, what's next?
I'm thrilled that I just have my gallery. I just think this is an accomplishment that most artists don't get that chance. And God put it in front of me. And we saw it. And my husband and I, we decided, this is a message. Let's do it. So we did it. And I'm just happy to have the gallery. And if people just come and visit, that's just good enough for me. That's a big accomplishment. Anything beyond that is more than frosting on the cake.
Right. Totally. Totally. Well, I mean, that's pretty much the questions I have for you, but I do want to just give you a chance. Is there anything else that you would love to tell me or you wanted to talk about? Anything else I should know that you'd want Religion Unplugged listeners to hear?
Well, Matthew, all I can say is you're very handsome. You're very charming. And you're very a good listener, and I appreciate you bringing me on to Unplugged. And what can I say? It's been quite a journey here with you. Thank you for being in my life.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a really great opportunity for me and a really good conversation. And I, on behalf of me, for the nice thing you said about me, and on behalf of Religion Unplugged, we're just so grateful we could talk to you. And thank you so much. Maureen, where can the people find you? How can people get connected to the gallery?
My gallery is Maureen Gaffney Wolfson. It's at 1986-0 Plummer Street in Chatsworth, California. And you can go on my website, Maureen Gaffney Wolfson. And there's a phone number, and you call and make an appointment and just come in.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much, Maureen.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Religion Unplugged podcast. All of our reporting is made possible and paid for directly by donors like you. In fact, we want to thank everyone who gave to Religion Unplugged at the end of the year as part of our Newsmatch campaign from the Institute of Nonprofit News. Thanks to you, we were able to match funds and raise more than $28,000 for editorial needs to pay our contributors for Religion and stories from around the globe that might otherwise go untold. Consider how you can join us year-round in our effort to increase religious literacy. Whether that's a small donation, signing up for our weekly newsletter, following us on X, Instagram, and Facebook, or sharing our work on your social media channels, we look forward to partnering with you.